All right, so there's a ton of stuff going on. Now, I was going to dive back into the book of Acts this morning, but we had, of course, Cheryl was here last week, shared with us about what was going on over there. Next week, Trav is going to share it their last Sunday with us. So he's going to share at the church. And so I didn't want to try to squeeze Acts back in. But I was moved earlier this week, as I'm sure many of you were, watching the news and hearing about what's going on. And the thing that really jumped out at me, and I, as I would assume that jumped out to most of you, is the this new development in Pastor Saeed and his imprisonment there in Iran. Since the formation of ISIS, and we're going to be talking about that, so I won't worry about it right now, but since that formation, turns out that in the prison that he's being held in, as bad as it was, some of the people in there have basically become members of ISIS. And this regime, if you've been watching the news, and if you're not, you should be, because you're watching the Bible unfold before your eyes, which is what we're going to talk about, that these guys are really, really evil. I mean, that's just the way that it is. And so the threats on his life, as bad as they were before, have increased. And basically, he is basically keeps to himself in his cell for fear of going out because of the death threats that are against him. And so some prayer has gone out. And if you guys have known, we talked with about not me, his wife in the past, had said, you know what, they believe he's where God wants him to be. But now with this new development, they're very much afraid because of what's happening over there. Now, amidst all of this stuff, unbeknownst to us, because the media fails to report it, we see God's hand at work. Now, you're never told about these things, but I was told, and I've been watching different sites and so on and so forth to kind of keep what's going, keep track of what's going on. But what we're seeing is literally God miraculously at work. Now, I was given from Bill and Ruth a blog from Joel Rosenberg's a site, if you want to go and check it out, about some miracles that are happening over there that even the Jews themselves, who have, if they believe in God, they've sort of moved away from what they understood in their past, their laws, and so on and so forth. But God is doing things to get their attention, and that's really what most of this is all about. So what you were not told, or what we were not told, is that as Hamas was firing those rockets in particular in the month of July, and we know about the Iron Dome system, that's a system, and everybody says, well, that's not miraculous, that's man. Well, it's miraculous that those things can do what they can do and that God has equipped these men. But it's more than that. There's a story in that blog spot, and I won't take it to the whole site because it's not necessary. But it's there's an interview with one of the generals that runs the Iron Dome system. And remember, what happens when they shoot these rockets off from Hamas, this Iron Dome thing catches the trajectory of the missile, its speed, its velocity, and so on and so forth, and they can get within 200 meters of where that missile is going to land, and then they send this targeting system in there. And if you watched it on the news, these things are amazing because they'll literally go shoot through the whole sky until they blow up the rocket coming in. Well, what happens is, by the time those things track them, there's only about 10 seconds before the rockets actually hit the ground. And in July, there was there was a rocket headed in that they discovered based on the Iron Dome thing that was headed in and was going to get into Tel Aviv. And it was either going to hit their equivalent of our Pentagon. I can't remember the couple of the other places. It's not really important. It was going to make it through. So they fired a missile from the Iron Dome system, and the missile missed. It missed for whatever, so they only had a few more seconds, so they fired a second time, and that missile missed again. And now there was 4 seconds until the missile was going to impact, and all of a sudden, the general is being quoted that a strong, gusty wind blew in off of the coast and from the east and blew the missile out to sea beyond Tel Aviv. And this general is quoted as standing up in the midst of all these people, a Jewish general protecting Jerusalem, said, there is a God. Now, this is the stuff you're never going to hear because the media doesn't want you to hear this. And this is, to me, is an in-your-ear to all of those who want to write off the nation of Israel in the future. Despite their failures and their weaknesses when it comes to their God, this is happening for their benefit. And though we are not hearing this, they are. And what ended up happening is, as you track this down, Rosenberg goes and he chases all of this stuff down. But I want to read you an actual quote. And this is the headlines, a picture of the headlines. You can't see it, I know. But I want to read this to you, what happened. And it was a quote from one of the top guys in Hamas talking about firing the rockets. And this lady, Barbara Ordman, lives in the West Bank, and she's a reporter there, so she was doing an interview with one of the leaders from Hamas. And the question was asked, why couldn't you guys aim, why don't you guys aim your rockets better? Because we know they fired over 3,000 rockets at Israel, right? And only a handful made it through. So the reply was, well, how come you guys don't get better at aiming your rockets? And this was the guy, the leader in Hamas, this is an actual quote from this leader. We do aim them. And this is what he said, but their God changes their path in midair. Now, there's a couple things here to notice what was said. Okay, we do aim them. In other words, they're admitting what they're trying to do. They're trying to take out Tel Aviv and targets within and all over the state, the nation of Israel. There's no question about that. But what's interesting, notice what he says. We do aim them, but their God. You see, this nonsense that that's thrown at us in the West, that our God, the Jewish God, the Islamic God are all the same, is not true. They are not the same. They've never been the same, and they're never going to be the same. Allah is not God, and God is not Allah. They know that. We know that. But our goofy, stinking media doesn't seem to get it. This guy gets it. We are aiming the missiles, but their God, who is not our God by implication, in other words, is not Allah, keeps changing their path in midair. Now, if you were in Hamas firing missiles at a nation whose God keeps moving your missiles around, I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure out that you might want to change gods. And frankly, that's what's happening. Many of these guys are coming to the Lord because they're watching this. They're watching this happen. You're never going to hear about it because the media will not report this. What we're watching happen in the Middle East is happening because God said it would happen. That mankind would do precisely what he is doing, and God told us beforehand what he would do. So this should take anybody that claims to be a Christian, it should not take us by surprise at any point. Period. End of story. And all of these yo-yos out there trying to get the church to replace Israel and trying to talk about God is through with Israel should read these articles. If God was through with Israel, why does he continue to perform miracles? And why not only is he performing miracles in and over Israel, why is he also performing miracles within Hamas and the Islamic leadership? Cheryl told us last week, and I've been telling you guys for over a year, these people by the droves are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. No one tells you that. Thousands of them are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and abandoning their faith because obviously the God of Israel is stronger. That's one reason. But mostly it's because the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in person, is showing up to these people. You can go on and read all of the accounts of these. He's showing up to them, literally, sometimes in dreams, and they have no questions about who he is when he shows up. Who are you? Like Paul said, remember on the Damascus Way. Who are you? I'm Jesus. On all of these counts, nobody has to say, I'm Jesus. They know exactly who he is. And he tells them what's going to happen. And at the peril of their lives, at the peril of losing everything that they know and love, their family, their land, being tortured, being persecuted, and ultimately being murdered, they will turn away from their God to the God of Israel, who of course is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's happening all the time, and no one tells us. Because our media, our government, and in particular the West, doesn't want us to understand these things. Because to come to terms with this means that the scripture is exactly what it claims to be, and that is truth. It's as simple as that. So what I wanted to do this week with all of that's going on, and you're watching this happen on the news and all of these things, and please, I know a lot of you guys in here don't like the news. You need to be watching the news, I'm telling you. Okay? Find a good news source. A trusty news source, not some of these wacko ones, okay, that are so biased that it goes even beyond what we've already talked about, okay? So find these things. Understand what's happening. Because what you've been told a couple of years ago now, but what we were told was the Arab Spring, has turned into now what we see today. And that's where I want to take this, the Arab Spring and the return of the kings. Because what this has done, and it sounded so good, you got to get Mubarak out of there. You got to get Gaddafi out of there. You got to get Bashar Assad, even though he's still there in Syria. You got to get these tyrants out of the way. And they are tyrants. Bloodthirsty rulers that have nothing. But they primarily were secularists. They didn't lean towards any one particular group of their religion, Islam. So as brutal as they were, everything was held in check. And when we went in there and we were a part of the removal of all of these different guys, as well as Saddam, what ended up happening is you opened up a vacuum. Okay? And the vacuum that was opened up was no longer for anybody that was on the sidelines when it comes to religion. But you opened the vacuum up and it sucked in all of those who by religion are doing what we see today. So the quote unquote victorious Arab Spring has turned around to proverbially come back and bite us. And it's biting the world. Out of that has come this thing that we're now hearing all about that is called ISIS. Do you know what that means? The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS. Now, if you know anything about what's going on over there and you've been said and under my teaching for any length of period of time, you should immediately get the chills and just go, oh my gosh. Because what's happening is Sunni Islam is on the march. And not just Sunni Islam as a whole, but a really extreme militant side of it. More militant, more extreme than Al-Qaeda, if you can believe that. And we ain't seen nothing yet. And to this point, nobody is stopping them. Oh, we send a couple of rockets in to help some people on them out. Not a bad thing, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying our government and the governments of the West stand back and do nothing. And when these people are breaking down our doors, and they will, take it to the bank, in the very short period of time, all of these guys are going to wish that they had taken a different approach. If you think the country, the world's setting back, the world country setting back and letting Hitler do what Hitler did, and then all of a sudden everybody going, oh my, maybe we should do something. After all, he's got almost all of Europe under his control. Hello? Those who do not know history are what? Doomed to repeat it. Do we learn nothing? Neville Chamberlain, peace in our times with his piece of paper. Hitler will not attack Europe. Turned out he wasn't so right. See, we've got the same thing happening now. A piece of paper, peace in our time. Well, that's what they said in the days of Jimmy Carter, in the days of Reagan, in the days of the Bushes, in the days of Clinton. And there's pictures of all those guys shaking hands over peace. Turns out they weren't right, not one of them. So we find ourselves in a world in the midst of what's going on. So the Arab Spring, understand, has led to this, as well as other things, Muslim Brotherhood, resurgence, so on and so forth. We want to get into all that because they're all tied together. But the point I want to show you is what's happening is that last part, the return of the kings. Now, when we go to Daniel, the book of Daniel, what you'll find there are some things that Daniel wrote, many of which were given to him by Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, roughly 550 years before Jesus ever entered this world. So about 550 BC. We won't worry about being accurate with our dates. And what happens is the Jews have been conquered by the Babylonians. We know them today as the Iraqis. Okay? And they came in, they destroyed the temple, and they took them captive, and they took them all over to the nation of Babylon where they began to serve. And it was over there that there were thousands and thousands of Jews over there. But the three, actually four, that we follow through the book of Daniel are, of course, Daniel and his three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, so that's what's going on. These guys were pulled over there. So they went in under Babylonian control. They were taken captive by the Babylonians. While they were there, okay, after 70 years of captivity, a nation rose up in power that was called Persia, the Persian Empire. And it was the Medes and the Persians. The Medes we know today as the Kurds. Oh, yeah. Now you're getting the picture? Persia is who? Iran. So the kingdom that Daniel knew as the Medes and the Persians would be the Kurds and the Iranians. Whoa. Now we're going to get into all that. Why this is why ISIS is going after the Kurds, because of their connection with Iran. Sunni, Shia. We'll get into that in just a few minutes here. So this is all that's taken place here. So, but after that, the Persian Empire rises. They come in and they take over Babylon and expand their rule in 539 BC is when that actually happened. And they began to rule the world. If you've seen the movies, The 300, this is at the end of the Persian rule, okay, when Greece started to raise. That's what was all taking place there. Well, as you go through all of this, you understand what's happened throughout history. Okay, so when you come through Daniel and you work your way up to chapter 11, all of a sudden there's this chapter that pops up out of the middle of nowhere and starts talking about these guys called the kings of the north and the kings of the south. And if you've ever read Daniel chapter 11 from the scripture, it can be very, very confusing until you understand that what you're reading is a history lesson to us. When that was given to Daniel, it was future. Even what's history for us was future for Daniel. I mean, we live 2,500 years after the guy, okay? So much has happened since those words were recorded. So for Daniel, the future had been written down, okay? And Gabriel shows up during the Persian reign. In other words, the Babylonians have been moved off the side. Now the Persians are in control. And Daniel is still serving. He's a high-ranking official again, even amongst the Persians, as he had been in the Babylonians. This is, by the way, it was the Persians that put him in the lion's den. Okay? So it was the Persian Empire that was in control when all that took place. But all of a sudden, in the midst of all this, in chapter 11, Gabriel shows up, the angel Gabriel, always Gabriel, because he's talking about Messiah. And anytime Messiah shows up, Gabriel shows up, because angel, messenger. So the messenger of Messiah, his name is Gabriel. That's how we know who he is, okay? So he gets there and he shows up, and this is what he says to them. We're going to look at a historical aspect of this. Believe it or not, we're going to get into the scripture, okay? So this is when Gabriel speaks to Daniel in 536 BC. That is only 3 years now after the Persians had gotten control of the world away from the Babylonians. And Gabriel says to Daniel that following the current king, whose name was Darius, or Darius, some would say, following him, there's going to be four more kings that are going to come in succession. And Gabriel says, but the one you need to worry about is the fourth one. Because the fourth king is going to be rich beyond any of the others. And his power is going to be immense. Okay? And we know from history that the fourth king after 536 BC was a fellow by the name of Xerxes. That's how you pronounce that. Okay? Makes you want to slobber when you see. But that's actually Xerxes. Okay, and he was the first. Now Xerxes, in case you're wondering, is, lo and behold, the Persian king that ended up married a Jewish woman whose name was Hadassah. Some say Hadassah, but there's no ah in the Hebrew. It's Hadassah or Hadassah. And he ends up marrying her, but her Persian name is Esther. Yes, if you want the story of that, read in the book. If you want to watch a movie that's really cool on this, watch A Night with the King. It's the story of Esther and the plot to destroy the Jews under Persian rule. And the plan is foiled by one Mordecai. And the bad guy in it is Haman. Yeah, it's everything we're watching happen today. It's amazing. Okay? Now, this guy would mount a huge, incredible military campaign against Greece. The 300 would have happened just before this. Okay? And he goes against Greece and he tries to conquer Greece, but Greece turns him back. And this was the rise of a fellow by the name of Philip of Macedon. Philippi is named after him. Philip has a son whose name is Alexander. And you guessed it, later would be called the Great, Alexander the Great. Because of what Persia had done, he would come on rise and he would just whoop the Persians. You're seeing that in the 2 300 movies, the 300 and the rise of an empire. The newest one that just came out, the rise of the empire, is the rise of the Greek empire. That's what was happening. So Alexander comes in, he annihilates Persia, and then he goes on and he cannot conquer the world anymore because he has everything. Turns the world, makes the world speak a universal language, his language, which was called Greek. Let the world serve and worship whatever religion they wanted to worship. But everybody spoke Greek, and that's why today Greek was the early Old Testament, I should say, version of English. Everybody knew Greek. That's why Jesus spoke Greek. That's why the New Testament is written in Greek. It's why when you go to the doctor and he says you need a cholecystectomy, he's speaking actually Latin, which is a variant of Greek. He's saying that you need a gallbladder taken out. Okay? Why is he saying that? Because he's using Greek. Why? Because Alexander made it the language. That's why. Okay? Really kind of simple when you understand all this. But Alexander died at a very young age. He had no heirs. He had no children. So his kingdom was divided up against four of his generals. They each took part. Two of these guys, named Cassander and Lysimachus, we don't worry about them. They kind of fade off and are sort of absorbed by the other two. But two guys become prominent and are known throughout world history. And what's interesting about this is the world hates Daniel chapter 11. Did you know that? Now, there are many critics of the Bible, certainly Genesis chapters 1 through 11. They hate that because it's creation and what mankind did to deserve God spreading the nations at Babel and the languages and stuff. They hate those chapters, but they can do nothing about them. For those of you that don't know, the challenge by that dude, I can't remember the guy's name, for $10,000 to anybody to prove, no matter who you are, to come and to prove Genesis is wrong still stands. Why do you think that is? Because Genesis is right. That's why. So much for the church buying into the world perspective. Anyway, so this is what's going on. But they hate, the critics absolutely hate Daniel chapter 11. Because Daniel chapter 11 tells us about the rise of these two kings, the northern king and the southern king. Okay? And it is so historically accurate and detailed that you have to criticize it because it tells you that the Bible is accurate. So the Bible critic says, well, the book of Daniel, in particular chapter 11, could not have been written by Daniel because it's too accurate. It's got the king of the north giving up his daughter to the king of the south so that they could have peace, and then they break the peace. And it goes, and this has all happened in history to the letter. In fact, 135 direct prophecy fulfillments in the first 35 verses of Daniel chapter 11. So the claim is, well, it couldn't have been written by Daniel then. It had to be written by somebody who already witnessed this and put it down and claimed to be Daniel. The problem is that most of the stuff that happened there happened long before Jesus showed up, and Jesus said it was Daniel that wrote it. And it was translated from the Hebrew into the Septuagint, the Greek, because Alexander made it the language of the day. So if that didn't happen until 300 BC, roughly 300 BC. So that's a moot point. It makes no sense, and it's an absurd claim, but it makes them feel better. So they reject Daniel chapter 11. So the rise of these, the two kings in the south would become under the leadership of this guy named Ptolemy. That's how you say that. Okay? They would become known as the Ptolemies. And they would rule. Egypt would be the center of their thing, and he would control, basically, Ptolemy would control all of northern Africa. In other words, Libya, Egypt, places we know today, Morocco, Tunisia, Algiers, Sudan, Somalia, blah, 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 blah. Okay, all of those places. Sound familiar? Yeah. Well, it was North Africa to him, but to us, we know what this is talking about. That's who he ruled, and he had great power. So he ruled the south, and that was the reign of the Ptolemies. But in the north, based out of Syria, the other general took control. His name was Seleucus. And they became known as the Seleucids, the Seleucid dynasties. And these two guys would war for control. So you've got Syria in the north, and you've got Egypt in the south, and they're constantly coming to battle. What sits in the middle? Israel. So there was a constant fight over the nation of Israel throughout its history. This is historical fact, folks. No one can deny this. No one. So this is what's going on. So the long and the short of it, the Ptolemies, the Seleucids end up getting stronger and stronger and stronger, while the Ptolemies get weaker and weaker. In fact, the last of the kings of the south of Ptolemies was not a king, was a queen whose name was, Cleopatra. She was the last of the Ptolemaic reign. And we all know Cleopatra from history. She hooked up with Julius Caesar. She hooked up with Mark Antony. And we mean in the Bible hooked up. Right? That's what she did. And when she died in 30 BC, what ended up happening is the Ptolemaic kingdom was absorbed by Rome. OK? Okay? That's what ended up happening. Well, the Seleucids, the same thing started to happen. Until just about 200 years BC, and then there was one ruler whose name was Antiochus, depends on how you want to pronounce it. You say potato, I say patata. Pick your choice, it doesn't matter. But anyway, he begins to rule, Antiochus the IV. Okay? And this guy is a raving lunatic. He's nuts, more nuts than anybody in this room. Trust me. And we have some nuts in here. Just kidding. Yeah. So this guy was a lunatic. So he gives himself the name Epiphanes. We get Epiphanes from it. Sound familiar? He's an epiphany. He's a shining one. He's the coming one. He claims deity. And he starts to rule. He hates the Jews because they won't bow to him, nor to his gods. And so he walks in and just basically slaughters them by the thousands. Okay? And as has always happened with the nation of Israel, that's all okay. But then what ends up happening? He places an altar in the temple. And on that altar, he slaughters a pig, an unclean animal. As bad as that is, that's not the affront to God. The affront to God is then he sets up an image of his god, Zeus. Zeus, the Greek Theos, the Spanish Dios. It's all related. Okay? It just goes on and on. So this is what's happening. This causes the Jews to go insane. This leads to what is called the Maccabean Revolt. Okay? So after this guy, he becomes the last of the kings. His name, of course, is Antiochus the IV Epiphanes. So in those first 35 verses of Daniel, there's 135. 135. Did you catch that? Not seeing this on the news. Because if you understood this, you'd understand ISIS. Believe it or not. We're going to see how here in just a second. In Daniel chapter 5, verse through verse 35, 30 verses, 135 historical prophecies verified, confirmed. No one can doubt, no one can argue. You can argue whether Daniel lived before or after, but you can't argue in the accuracy. Okay? So what the heck is going on? Well, verse 36, there's a change in Daniel. Something happens in verse 35. I wanted to read this. This is speaking now, we're still not to 35. This is speaking of Antiochus. Notice, and forces shall be mustered by him, Gabriel. This is Gabriel. Remember, this is Angel Gabriel talking. Daniel writes it down. And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. And they shall take away the daily sacrifice and the place there, the abomination of desolation. Now the critic says, oh, see, and these are believers that say, well, see, the abomination of desolation has already taken place. Did Jesus not teach that there was a coming another abomination of desolation? How come you missed that? Sure, this happened 500 years before Jesus entered. But when Jesus entered, he says, you know what? When you see the abomination of desolation, then you're going to know to get the crud out of Dodge. Literally, Dodge, Jerusalem, just so you know. Okay? So, that's the first time. So it was a forerunner, a picture of what people were to look for. When you see something like this, Jesus is saying, you got to beat feet. Okay? Verse 32, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. Those who are playing at being a Jew. Jews playing at being a Jew. Sounds like Paul knew what he was talking about. Said not all Jews are Jews. Or not all Israel is Israel, sorry. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. This would be the guys John Nicrinus and what we would later become known as the Maccabees, the hammer, because he would destroy these guys. Yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help. In other words, God is going to do some stuff, but it's not going to be a great show at this point. That's coming. They shall be aided with a little help, but many shall join with them by intrigue. In other words, there's going to be spying and, you know, so on and so forth. And some of those of understanding shall fall. But they're going to fall, why? To refine them, to purify them, and to make them white. When? Until the time of the end. Verse 35. Did you catch that now? You got to say this. Until the time of the end. Because it is still for the appointed time. In other words, what's going to happen will happen again. But it won't happen until the end. Verse 36, this is historically the Maccabean Revolt, by the way, 165 BC, which ended the rule of Antiochus, which we talked about. By the way, does anybody know what celebration the Jews still celebrate to this day to commemorate that? Hanukkah. When they destroyed Antiochus, they had to go and cleanse the temple, right? That cleansing became known as a feast of Israel called Hanukkah, the purification of the temple of God, because it had been defiled by Antiochus. Okay, so that's still celebrated today. That's how important it is to a Jewish mindset. Jesus himself, it's also called the Feast of Dedication. Jesus himself celebrated this feast, because remember, this happened about 200 years before Jesus was born, 165. Okay. Now, verse 36, then, see the verse there, or the word there? Something has changed. Verse 36 starts to tell us about another king who, like Antiochus, is going to be powerful. He's going to do all these things, but he's going to go far beyond what that guy did. We talked about him setting up the altar to Zeus, right? His god. Watch this guy. Then the king, this is a different king now, because we're talking about the time of the end, then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every other god. This guy is absolutely arrogant. There's already some people in the news that would feel this, but we'll just leave that at that. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. He shall speak blasphemies, speak evil of, in other words, against the God of gods, capital God, that's the true God, the fake gods of the world, small g. And he shall prosper. He's going to be popular, and he's going to prosper. He's going to get his time in the light until the wrath has been accomplished. Ooh. So he's not going with anything from man's side of things. Notice the term wrath. Man cannot bring wrath. Only God can bring wrath. If you're with us on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about that. We just looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. Earlier we looked at the flood. Wrath. Both instances, wrath. God saying, enough. And he stops it. This is wrath that's coming. Not man against man. For what has been determined shall be done. Future tense. It's future for us. This is all future for us. But we're watching it unfold. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers. So this can't be Antiochus, because he set up a thing to Zeus, the God of his fathers. So this can't be talking about him. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. The desire of women, people have always tried to figure this out. Well, it's marriage. It's your husband. It's a... It's Messiah. The whole context is gods, God, the true God, false gods, spiritual beings. This has to be the Messiah. He's speaking to Daniel, who was a Jew, and then all the women in Israel are waiting to give birth and bring Messiah into the world. You could come up with no other explanation here, though those have tried. But look at the context. It's about gods. It's about God. It's about all this stuff. This has to be Messiah. It can be no other. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God. Geez, that's exactly what Paul said, isn't it? There's one coming that's going to be boastful, big mouth. Scripture identifies him. And he's going to set himself up to be God. If you don't think the world will buy into this, then you're nuts. If some dude stepped onto the scene right now and said he was in fact God and he has all of the answers, if we'll just follow him, there are millions and millions and millions would rally to his cause immediately. Make no mistake about it. It's just that simple. It's hard to imagine, but that's what the scripture says. For he shall exalt himself above all of them. This guy's going to elevate himself. But in their place, in the place of all of those gods, notice, he shall honor a god of fortress. He's going to have a military unlike any other, which is why. And a god of his fathers, he did not know. And blah, blah, blah. Let me stop here. And in Revelation, we're told that the people of the earth, when this guy shows up, because we know what we're talking about, right? We're talking about this fellow that's called the Antichrist. Although the scripture never actually calls him that. Okay? That's what we know him as. Really, he's the boastful one, big mouth, the Syrian. We could go on and on. He's the one that's opposed to God. He's going to be military. In their place, in the place of those things, he shall honor a god of fortress and a god of his fathers, which of his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold and silver. He's going to bring in a new god. And you know who that god is going to be? It's going to be Lucifer. Lucifer is going to, at this point, get his wish. I will lift my throne to the heavens. Did he not say that? I will be like the Most High. No, you won't. That's what's happening. He's going to get that chance for 3.5 years. That's sad. and many will bow down to him. And the world's going to say, oh, how great is this guy? Who can make war with him? Nobody can stand in front of this guy and the power that he has. Thus he shall act, verse 39, against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, a god unknown to the world. We're going to talk about why that's important, but remember that phrase. He's going to do this with a foreign god. Basically, it's going to be himself, but we're going to see the reaction to that here in just a minute. Which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory, and he shall cause them to rule over. In other words, those that follow him, the 10 kings of Revelation, by the way, and those that advance with him, he shall cause them to rule over many, and he will divide the land for gain. Wow, that is incredible. This is the first king. I call him the arrogant king. Of course, we know him as the Antichrist. The man with a plan. That's who he is. Now, I'm telling you, make no mistake about it. This man is alive and well today. We have seen him. I have no doubt. I don't know who he is. I'm not going to, no way. There's not, I'm not even going to try that. But I know he's out there. And I know he's drumming up support already, but you'll never hear about it. Because it's Lucifer that's behind it. Literally, Lucifer. Not any government. Lucifer himself. You're not going to hear about it until it's time. But he's already out there. And you've probably seen and heard from him. But you're going to see, the world's going to see and hear him again. Okay? But he's the arrogant king. That's the first king, the man with the plan. And he's already committing all of this stuff. But at the time of the end, there you go, that's our setting. At the time of this, notice the king of the south is back. There's a power going to rise in the south that eventually is going to probably look for this guy and then turn against this guy. Okay? The king of the south shall attack him, go after him. King number two, Iraq and Syria, ISIS. Sunni Islam. They're not going to tolerate this guy. They'll embrace him at first. We know from Revelation he'll be embraced. So will Shia Islam. They'll embrace him. But when this guy sets up and declares the foreign god, because they're Muslim, whether Shia or Sunni, either way, they will not be able to tolerate that and they will attack him. And we're told in Revelation that he will destroy the whore of Babylon. Islam. He's going to destroy Islam. He's going to come up. I don't know whether through Islam, but he's going to use Islam's help, and then he's going to turn against them and declare himself a god, and they're going to go after him because they won't tolerate anybody claiming to be Allah. It's not going to happen. So ISIS, what did I say it meant? The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. There it is. That's Sunni Islam. Now, if you've been watching, there's all sorts of problems, and I don't have a chance and time to get into all of the details. But we've been watching, well, years ago, for those that can remember, there was the Iraq and Iran war. What was it over? Sunni and Shia Islam. Go back even farther to a fellow came from England who settled the dust that was being kicked up around named T.E. Lawrence. We call him Lawrence of Arabia. He went down to the Saudis and tried to help them against the Ottoman Empire up in the north. What was the problem? Sunni in the south, Shia in the north, and the Shia were gaining control. England sent him in there because of the oil situation, and this is way deeper than this, but you get the idea. This is nothing new. Why the world hasn't understood this is beyond me. So these guys are raising, and what you're seeing right now with ISIS is a rise of the militant, the gravest militant aspect of Sunni Islam. And they started in Iraq because Maliki in Iraq was a Shia and wasn't letting the Sunnis be a part in his government. And by the way, who did we put in there? Maliki. Duh. Another good one chalked up for the good old USA. These dorks. Because they don't listen to the scripture. They keep, it's just dumb. It just drives me insane. They read everything else, all the histories, and they know all of this stuff, but they never seem to want to open the Bible. What the crud is up with that? Drives me crazy. Anyway, but these guys have risen up, and they've risen up to get rid of Shia Islam. If you don't think it's a threat to Shia, who, by the way, we're going to see in a minute, is Iran, then they're a great threat to them, so much so that Iran is shaking in their dang boots. And that's why America has sent some aid to Iran. What? Yeah. Why? Because of ISIS. And when you look at a map, pay attention to the maps as you see them on the news. Because they hooked up with the Sunni from Syria. And and we're the rebels, by the way, because Assad is with Iran and the Shia, and he had the majority. So the rebels were Sunni. So now ISIS has come in, joined with the rebels. Now you got this big ISIS thing. And if you look at a map, it's from Syria all the way down into the northern part of Iraq, and it runs right along. Their country rides along what? Does anybody know? River Euphrates. This is what's happening. And they're on the march. And the fear from all of the countries of the world is that these guys are going to be unstoppable very fast. Because they're unlike anything that has ever risen in the past. And why is that significant? Because in Revelation chapter 9, again, the angel tells John, now, 500 years later, he hears that the Lord tell them, go and release the angels at the Euphrates. Go and release them. Let them have their thing. And we read that there were millions slaughtered. So we're watching all of this line up exactly as the scripture happened. And ISIS, it's the rise of the southern kings. But that's not all. By the way, ISIS, I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. I mean, this is all out there. They don't care what you think. You think they're afraid of us as Americans? Please. No, they're not afraid of you. They're not afraid of us. They're not afraid of anything. Why? Because if you kill them, they go to heaven. And end up with all these virgins running around. Wow, that's kind of warped. But that's what they believe. Well, it's just nuts. Well, it doesn't matter. It's nuts. That's what they believe. They think you're nuts. And yet you believe it. But this is their five-year plan put out. By the way, that's the black flags. If you remember a couple of years ago, I was telling you, they said, beware, the black flags came from Islam against Israel and against America, the great Satan and the little Satan. Beware of the black flags. Remember, I read that to you guys. In here, it's on our archives. You can go in and listen to it. Beware of the black flags, because when they show up, everything is changing. They're going to cause such chaos in the world that Al-Mahdi is coming back. The 12th Imam, from the Shia perspective, is coming back. This is their plan. The black flags controlling that much of the world. Interesting. This is Sharia law. Under Sunni control. That's what their hopes is. This is their caliphate from a Sunni perspective. Okay? Pretty frightening. Now, if they get that in just 5 years, what do you think is going to happen in 10 years? Now, it's obviously not going to happen. God's going to say, no. But this is what they're lining up to do. This is exactly what the scripture says, folks. Exactly. Look at the Bible prophecy nations. They're all in that black circle. Some are beyond, I agree. But all of the ones that are named, besides the few that are separate, are within this category. It's unbelievable. But verse 40 goes on, and then the king of the north shall come against him. Who's him? Big Mouth, the arrogant king, shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. People say, oh, that's an old, that can't be new because they don't ride horses. Are you watching the news? They're still riding horses into these battles, folks. You can't, they're going to take a horse a place where you're never going to take a tank. Oh, that can't be true. Sure it is. Sure it is. You can take horses and stuff all those trails all up in those mountains and go through places that any material, any mechanized stuff will never make it through. Never. Of course they are. Of course, it's going to be mechanized as well. But anyway, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. In other words, they will not stand against him, the king of the north, the king of the south. Okay, and of course we know who this is. This is Iran and Syria. Now, well, I thought you said Syria was with the other group. Well, it is, because if you look, we just said what's going on in Syria with the civil war. It's Sharia against Sunni, and everybody watches the slaughter of what's taking place there with Bashar Assad, a Syrian leader in cahoots with Iran, by the way. And he's doing this. They're helping arm him while we were helping to arm the rebels. Who were we arming then? ISIS. Are you getting the picture yet? Talk about shooting yourself in the foot. It's unbelievable what's happening in these places. But this is the Shia part of that. And everybody watches the slaughter. So you've got to get rid of Bashar Assad. Do you? Do you? make no mistake about it. You take that guy out of the picture, and literally all hell breaks loose. Do you know that your Christian brothers and sisters who live in Syria today are pleading that America doesn't allow Bashir to be taken out? Because they still have at least this much safety under this guy. Take him out of the way. Let ISIS get control. Let the Shia get control. The Christians, as we're already watching happen on TV, are going to be slaughtered in droves that we have that are unimaginable. Because these people don't care. So the Christians are praying that Bashar Assad stays in power. But Iran has said, well, he's irrelevant anyway. Whether he goes or stays is doesn't matter. This is a quote from one of their religious leaders. It is Iran that is in control. Oh, they don't have nuclear weapons. Don't worry about that. They're just going to run their lights, and they're going to put in drive-ins, and they're going to put in, you know, they're going to have Vegas going on, and they need the power for it. Duh. The blind leading the blind. And people are believing this nonsense. It is sad, and in my opinion, pathetic. And we get what we deserve. The rise of the kings of the north and the kings of the south. You're seeing it in ISIS, and you're seeing it in Iran, Shia. And they are this close. I have one hand. They're this close to coming together. And when they do, look out. And Israel is sitting right there, knowing all of this better than you and I do, and knowing that if this happens, they're going to have to take out the nukes. And they're going to have to nuke Damascus, which is exactly what Isaiah 17, well, it doesn't say it's going to be nuked. It says Damascus is going to cease to exist. How can that happen? A nuke. It just goes on and on. We keep watching this, and it just keeps popping up, and we still just walking around life is like, oh, just going through like nothing's changed. When ISIS continues to grow, and it will, because nothing's going to stop them, folks. It's too late now. We might get them tampered down a little bit, but they'll be back. It's too late. We've let the cat out of the bag. Iran, Shia Islam, cat's out of the bag. Can't stop it. Why do you think there's places in England, the UK, did you guys know this? Where you cannot go because it's Sharia law. In England, you can't go there. You are, warning, you are entering a Sharia law zone. Michigan. Yeah, Michigan, they're trying to get going in Michigan too. Yeah. It's not going to happen here. Really. How come England can't stop this? Because they're in the parliament now. And we just sit back and just go, whoa, everybody, come on in. Jeez, unbelievable. I got to hurry. And the angel of the Lord said, behold. Whoops. Oh, I forgot I threw this in there. Sorry. This is going back. Let me just read this real fast. I forgot. I totally forgot I put this in there. This is exactly what they said was going to happen when the angel said to Hagar with Ishmael. Abraham's illegitimate, well, it wasn't Abraham's, but this, not the son of the promise, Ishmael, would become these very nations we're talking about, by the way. They're all Ishmaelites, not Arabs. Don't buy into the Arab crap stuff. Thank God Marie's not in here. And the angel, this is what he said to Hagar. She ran, remember? And God sent the angel, and the angel said, no, listen, you need to go back to Abraham. Okay, go back and obey, okay? And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard you of your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. Now notice, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. In other words, his fight would be with his brethren. Think Sunni. Think Shia, think ISIS, think Iran, think Wahhabi, think Yazidis, think all of these people over there, and you'll begin to understand what's happening. Jack Kelly, one of the guys I read a lot, he says that there's a widely known Bedouin saying that says this. This is a Muslim speaking against about a Muslim. I against my brother, my brothers and I against my cousins, then my cousins and I against the strangers. This has been this way throughout history. And everybody wants to blame the Jews, but the old Jews haven't been in there since up until 1948. So much for blaming the Jews. This has been a problem since the 600s when this fellow named Muhammad was here. Nothing has changed. Okay, now let me quickly move on. So going back now to this one king, after he's destroyed this rise that we're seeing, and you're going to see that in his Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, and Ezekiel 38 and 39. That's, God is going to destroy these guys as well. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. That obviously is Israel. But these shall escape from his hand. Now, if you were with us on Wednesday, this last Wednesday, you know who Edom, Moab, and Ammon are. Moab and Ammon are descendants of Lot through his daughters. They're sons of an incestuous relationship. Edom was the brother of Jacob. Okay? His name was Esau, but he later became known as Edom. Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon, they're going to escape from his hand. Who is Edom, Moab, and Ammon? Think about it now. Where is this place still called, by the way, Ammon? Where is it at? Jordan. Jordan will escape. Have you noticed anything going on in Jordan? They're kind of sidelined, aren't they? Sitting on the sides, not doing anything, quietly supporting Israel, quietly supporting the U.S. Imagine that. For some reason, they don't enjoy it. They don't come into this, and he lets them go. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. ISIS will not escape. And the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and over the precious things in Egypt. Also the Libyans, the Ethiopians shall fall on his heels. Now remember, Ethiopians, not Ethiopians, we know it today. Ethiopians, to these guys, were the area that we would know as the Sudan, Somalia. Imagine that. Okay, and parts of Ethiopia, by the way. That's who we're talking about today. But news from the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury and to destroy and annihilate many. This is Gabriel speaking to Daniel. Remember, 500 years before Jesus. So that means 2,500 years ago for you and I. And he's telling us exactly what's happening today. And you can put a world leader in the midst of this, and this all comes to pass exactly. He's not here yet, so we still have to wait and see what happens. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. That means between the Mediterranean and Jerusalem. He's going to set up in those plains. What's in those plains? Megiddo, Harmageddon. Armageddon. He's setting himself up, the doofus. And he shall plant his tents in the palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end. And no one will help him. Why? Well, we've talked about the three kings, the arrogant king, the king of the north, the king of the south. We're watching them rise again, as Daniel or Gabriel said they would, and Daniel wrote for us. But there's a fourth king. What the king of the south and the king of the north failed to do against the arrogant king, the king of kings will not have a problem with. The Lord will return, and he will set up his kingdom. And then there's Daniel chapter 12. Go your way, Daniel. Seal all of this stuff up. Knowledge is going to increase. I'm very much paraphrasing this, but you get the idea. And those who were wise will become wiser. And those who were fools, in other words, ignoring what's happening around them, will continue to be fools. But you and those that are wise shall shine like the stars in the heavens because you understand what's going on. Many will run to and fro, talking about all of the stuff that's happening today. But in the midst of all that, the great King of Kings will show up and all the kingdoms of earth will fall and bow on their face before him. So as bleak as it is when you watch the news and you see all of this stuff and you read this and you're hearing ISIS and you're hearing about all of this death and they literally are slaughtering, if you don't know, massacring by the droves Christians. Always the Christians. What's up with that? Because Christians are easy targets. We don't fight back. Jesus said, no, you pray for your enemy and those that spitefully use you. That's what you do. Every other religion says kill your enemy except our God. He said, no, you love your enemy. Because death is not the end for the people of God. So, we got to stand. We got to stand. We got to be alert. We got to stay awake. But we got to stand. Because this is going to get worse. This ISIS and these people are so out of control already. We haven't seen anything yet. And it is going to directly affect our markets. It already has. It's going to directly affect the world economy. It's going to directly affect world political situations. It's going to attack it all. And what's going to be the world's answer to all this? Please, one world leader that could lead us all with a one world religion. With a one world religion. With a one world government. That's what they're talking about, you guys. That's what they say. This is the answer to ISIS and to the Shia and the Israeli and Palestinian problem. This is what it is. One world ruler, one world government, one world economic system, one world this, one world that. One world. Can't we all just get along? No, we can't. The first chance you get, no matter how tragic the thing is, everybody will be breaking into stores to get their Nikes. That's how we're going to get along. Sad. Let's pray. Father, thank you for